MPB.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB Online.org. MPB Think Radio.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Relatively Speaking, the show all about you and your family. I'm Kevin Farrell with Dr. Greg Gordon, board-certified internist and psychiatrist. Yesterday was Mother-in-Law's Day for 2009, so today we're talking about that sometimes tricky task of getting along with your in-laws. If you have a question or story to share with us today, please call us at 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 877-672-7464, or send us an email to family@mpbonline.org. Our listener question of the day today is, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? What do you think? Give us a call at 1-877-MPB-RING, which is 877-672-7464. This is Relatively Speaking on MPB Think Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Relatively Speaking on MPB Think Radio. I'm Kevin Farrell with Dr. Greg Gordon. And today we're going to be talking about getting along with your in-laws. Our question of the day specifically asks, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? If you would like to take a stab at that question or have a comment or story to share with us, call us at 877-MPB-RING. It's 877-672-7464. Our email address is family@mpbonline.org. Good morning, Dr. Gordon. How are you doing today?
Oh, good morning, Kevin. Doing great. It was certainly a wonderful to have the week off last time, but also hope drive time went well here at MPB Radio. I was enjoying listening to that, but I did get that number driven into my head, that 1-888-372-GIVE.
Well, that's good, because that's what we want to have drilled into people's head that week is the number to call. Would like to thank everybody that called in last week to support us during our on-air fundraising. It's always quite impressive to see the list of names and where they come from, all parts of the state and in and around the surrounding states as well. We had a successful drive time, and that is thanks to folks who called in and our listeners. As we said on the air last week, though, I appreciate our listeners who call in and support, but also those folks who just choose to participate in our call-in shows, like Relatively Speaking. Thanks to you, and thanks to folks that just listen to us. We appreciate all our listeners of every kind and stripe. Today, though, on the program, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about getting along with in-laws. That can sometimes be a sticky or a tricky issue, I would think. If you want to get in touch with us today, the number is 877-672-7464. Our question of the day asks, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? Dr. Gordon, why do you think that this in-law relationship can be so challenging at times?
Well, you know, I first want to say, if you can look on the MPB Think Radio website, you'll actually see three separate links about how to get along, you know, and suggestions it has. And actually, out of the first two ones, I think they're very nice, but the third one really, really does appeal to me the most one. I think it is the how to get along with your in-laws, mm-hmm. dealing with in-laws and extended, tell it like it is. Yeah, I think it is. But, you know, one of the big problems is honestly, I think too many times the people involved in the marriage do not set appropriate, healthy limits on other people. You know, and I think what happens is you end up with a divided loyalty where, remember, during the course of a marriage, you claim to put the other person in first in your life. And once that starts to happen, the relationships are going to change. And somehow people don't expect relationships that they've had in the past to change with marriage. People, it should change. Once you're putting your wife as the most important person in your life or a top priority in your life, after that, parents and other siblings and brothers and sisters and cousins will have to come second. Or at least not before your spouse, and certainly not before your spouse all the time. And so what happens, I think, is that parents still want the relationship to continue to be the same exact way that it was. Of course, raising your son, my mother raising me, you know, gave me direction, support, encouragement, a lot of very positive things. And my mother was able to actually, she was very ready to sort of let go. My wife might be calling in right now to disagree, but, you know, by being able to let our families know, hey, my life is changing. You did your job. You got me to this point. Now celebrate with me this happy moment, this happy time in my life. And I think a lot of times it comes down to people not setting healthy limits. And I'll even go a step further. I think the husbands out there need to man up and go ahead. Hey, mom. Hey, dad. Look, I've got this wonderful person in my life. And I want you to respect her, love her, honor her. Or if you can't do that, at least be nice to my wife. This is the person who I love and care about, and I'm not going to let you interfere with that. And that's why I think the mother-in-laws get a poor reputation, partly because the sons, the new husbands, don't step up and do what they need to about setting boundaries.
And I guess maybe from the child's point of view, to talking about parents that are in-laws to their spouse, is to let them know that the change is made, but also to maybe to try to reinforce and say, you know, I'll always be your son, I'll always be your daughter. Mm-hmm. That relationship, while changing, is always going to be one of strength, but you need to accept this person. And the other thing, I guess from maybe the parent's point of view, maybe to respect that they raised their child to make good decisions, and one of the most important decisions their child has made is choosing a spouse, and to maybe cut them some slack and say, well, you know, there must be something there in that person because our son or daughter chose them.
Exactly. And the same thing, too, for the newlywed couple to understand that the parents still might want to be very much involved. You're not trying to cut them out. You're not trying to kick the in-laws to be irrelevant, but to say, look, our relationship is going to be our top priority. There are important and healthy relationships that we should maintain and must nurture to maintain as well, too.
We each week on our question of the day gather some thoughts from people. Ezra Wall, our producer, does a good job of getting the ball rolling on our question of the day by giving us some things to talk about. So why don't we go ahead and listen to what Ezra has for us this week.
Whether you think mother-in-laws get a bad rap.
I've had three mother-in-laws. Only one of them was worth a damn.
What do the rest of y'all think about that?
Oh, Lord.
You got a good mother-in-law.
No, I'm good, baby. I got a good mother-in-law also, so I ain't getting into that one either.
Okay, so you think maybe mother-in-laws do get a bad rap?
Nah, they don't get a bad rap.
Are you married?
No.
Oh, well, you can't answer that question.
No, I can't. I can't answer it at all. Do you think mother-in-laws get a bad rap?
Well, sometimes they do. Sometimes they are real bad mother-in-laws, and sometimes they are the best mother-in-laws in the world.
Okay. You mentioned something before I turned the recorder on about your former mother-in-law.
I had one of the best second mother-in-laws anybody could ask for in the world.
Did you have one of the best first mother-in-law?
No, she was a wicked witch.
The wicked witch or just a?
Wicked witch.
Okay. Do you think mother-in-laws get a bad rap?
I do. I really do.
You think most of them just have everybody's best interest at heart?
That's right. That's right. I ain't got no problem with mine.
What about you, sir? Do you think mother-in-laws get a bad rap?
Well, I'm not mad either. I'm a single man looking for a good wife.
Okay.
I'm from Las Vegas, and that's what I'm looking for. I came right looking for me a good wife.
Okay. I'm asking about mother-in-laws. All of a sudden, nobody's married.
All right, some thoughts there on our question of the day, and that is, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? And my reaction to our first person there, if you're on your third mother-in-law, maybe there might be something more there than whether it's a good mother-in-law or a bad mother-in-law. But one thing that I think is important, because on other shows, when we've talked about, you know, raising children and that sort of thing, I think in-laws, grandparents, that is, mm-hmm. are an important part of an extended family. So I would think it kind of... It would benefit all involved if somehow some sort of working relationship can be worked out.
Oh, I agree. And actually, you heard several people say, look, there's some in-laws who are very good and some who are very challenging or difficult. And that's true with just any type of people in our lives. We can have relationships that are positive and relationships which are challenging. You know, understanding the value, communicating with the other persons, making sure there's an agreement on what we think is important and what the needs are, really can play an important part in terms of raising a family. I think in-laws can play a wonderful part and be a very positive part in being connecting, having your children connect to their culture, their spirituality, their family roots, their family traditions. Who better than a grandmother or grandfather to explain, you know, why we do what we do today to our young people? It can be a very healthy and wonderful part of childhood growing up. And that's why I think sometimes when we ask these questions, I know they're purposeful to get people really thinking, but it's never a yes or no answer. You know, some mother-in-laws get bad reps, some mother-in-laws work real hard to earn a bad rep, but they can play such an important part of that. And that's where, I always like the idea of, good fences make good families, setting appropriate limits and boundaries for behaviors, interactions, knowing when to say whoa, and being okay with that, I think, is an important part.
We are on Relatively Speaking today, talking about how to get along with your in-laws. If you have a question for us, if you have a comment, or if you have a way that you have worked out where you get along with your in-laws, then please give us a call today at 877-MPB-RING, which is 877-672-7464, or you can send an email to family@mpbonline.org. I think that rightfully so, we're kind of focusing in on the idea of setting up some boundaries. How do you go about starting that? I guess it would start between the husband and wife, but maybe just for them to talk to each other about how they're feeling about interactions with the in-laws. Is that a good place to start?
Oh, that's an excellent place to start. Your spouse can't read minds, people, particularly if you're newlyweds and newly into the relationship. So if there is a conflict or problem that you're seeing, if I'm having a problem with my father-in-law, I'd want to sit down with my wife and say, I kind of noticed that your dad treats me this way. You want to be careful because you don't want to attack a parent. You got to remember that's still, my wife's father. If I say, oh, he's a really blah, 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 and say some bad words, I'm just attacking her dad. But if I sit down and go, I feel uncomfortable, about this. I didn't feel like this worked out. By first letting it be known that there is a concern before there is a big problem or conflict. I don't want to go, your dad punched me in the eye, so I kicked him in the leg. We don't want one of those things. But if we can identify conflict before it becomes a major source of stress and a point of arguing, that we can then try to work things out. We can then talk together as a family, as a couple, and say, okay, what do we both agree is important? If we set our marriage as a priority, what's important? Well, first is going to be our time, how we make decisions, how we spend the holidays, how we raise our kids. What are the things that we as a couple think are important? Money, how you manage money, are important for us to work on. Now we want to make some decisions. Well, how much can we let our parents have an influence or give advice on? And people, if you are dead broke and you're living in your in-law's home and you're complaining to your wife that your father-in-law gripes every time you bum a 20 to get a carton of smokes, you've got to look at where your priorities are and what's going on in your life too. I hear the music and let me go ahead and wrap up. But again, it's about getting things starting, talking, and setting some limits.
Getting along with the in-laws today is our topic on Relatively Speaking. We're looking for your input as we do each Monday at 877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464. Our email address is family@mpbonline.org. If you get along with your in-laws, we're looking for some keys to success. Give us a call and let us know what you did to make that relationship a healthy one. We'll be back after this.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Relatively Speaking on MPB Think Radio, where today our topic is getting along with the in-laws. And our question of the day asks about mothers-in-law. Do mothers-in-law get a bad rap? Call us at 877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464, or send an email to family@mpbonline.org if you have a comment or want to answer our question of the day. And as our producer reminded me, Ezra Wall said that yesterday was Mother-in-Law's Day for 2009, so that's why we're
picking on the mother-in-law, but this is really about in-laws in general, so we would encourage questions or suggestions to deal with both mothers-in-law, fathers-in-law, brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, in-laws in general is what we're talking about today on Relatively Speaking. And Dr. Gordon, you mentioned, and I think many sons-in-law might be in the same boat, that probably didn't even realize yesterday was Mother's-in-Law Day, so maybe a belated greeting to the mother-in-laws out there, because I guess it is sort of a difficult position for a mother. You know, you raise your children. That's they. You know, a lot of good parents that you put your heart and your soul to try to raise your child. And I guess on the day they are married, it's kind of a mixed a boat there. You're happy for them, but in a way, you know, that's a sign of them becoming more independent, I guess.
No, it's a very big issue, and I think you're right. Well, one, I did not know it was Mother-in-Law Day. Happy Mother-in-Law Day, Faye. I know you're in Florida, so I don't know if you're going to hear this, but happy Mother-in-Law Day. I have a very nice mother-in-law myself. You know, I think, too, what also comes into play is that many times mother-in-laws treat their children, and the same thing, moms and dads will treat their children the same way they were treated by their in-laws. So sometimes what we also see, too, is the repeating sort of tradition, and that's actually probably one of the bigger things that we see. Well, my mother-in-law did this, so I'm going to do this to you. You know, my mother-in-law came right in after the birth of our first child and stayed for 6 months. Or, you know, my father always tried to control the finances until I was 35, and I'm going to do the same to you. And that's probably one of the biggest problems that we come into is just because it was done to us, we're going to do it to other people. You know, sometimes it's very positive things, and sometimes it's not. And that's where I think, you know, why do people think you know, that somebody is a bad in-law? It really depends on what your perspective is. You know, if you grew up in, you know, if you were raised in a family where your parents lived with their parents and they lived on their parents' farm, you know, and they did that because your father, you know, was an alcoholic and not working and your mom was struggling and, you know, there was no money around, you know, you're going to think, well, doesn't everybody live that way? Shouldn't everybody try to jump in and save each other? And instead they say, well, it's pretty normal. We're supposed to be fighting. That's the way I grew up. And that's one of the big challenges I think that I see is if you keep doing things the same way, you'll get the same results. If you want those results, fine, keep doing it that way. But when patients come to see me and there's family problems, a lot of time it's because they're not working on their communication or setting the limits and the boundaries. I know it sounds real repetitive, but it is kind of straightforward. It's not easy. But how you go about doing this is rather straightforward in terms of making a better relationships with your in-laws. And that also includes brother-in-law, sister-in-law. What are the things that you can do, you know, to help improve the relationship with those?
And I guess another point that we bring out quite frequently when talking about families on the program is that parents are constantly modeling for their children, whether they realize it mm-hmm. or not. And so maybe another reason to try to get along with in-laws, or at least to minimize the rancor, that is, would be that the kids are watching. And as you mentioned, that you know, they're kind of like sponges. They're always soaking up what's going on in that family dynamic. So it's important to try to have a healthy one for the children as well.
Oh, I agree. And please, do not criticize in-laws in front of your children. You know, your child does not need to know that you do not like his grandmother or grandfather. It sends some terrible mixed signals and helps with the division of the family that can go on for generations and generations. I bet everybody out there knows somehow a family that has been split into two factions. These two aunts and an uncle go one way and they never talk to, you know, an aunt and another uncle on the others. That's how these family feuds develop. It's pretty complex in some ways, but it can be cured or it can be worked on in a very simple, straightforward manner.
Let's go to the phones for our first call today. Rhonda has called in from Columbia. Rhonda, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? What are your thoughts?
Yes, mother-in-laws do get a bad rap. However, I think it's because of what you're talking about. The family dynamics can be different. From my perspective, as a wife, mm-hmm. I married a man whose family is completely different from mine, educational background, socioeconomic, and everything. Mm-hmm. So my mother-in-law has a completely different worldview, different perspective from mine. Plus, she worries and frets often. She is obsessive about some things, and she is very focused on her health mm-hmm. and issues with her health. So these are the topics of conversation when I'm around her, what she's worried about, whether or not she got to wash her car today, how she's feeling, what hurts, what doesn't hurt. And at first, I just chided at that. It just grated on my nerves, and I could hardly be around her.
Mm.
And what I decided to do after a couple of years when kids started coming along and I realized I have got to find a way to get along with this woman is I started taking her to lunch once a week.
Excellent.
And let her just tell me everything that was on her mind and listen and be as compassionate as I possibly could for that whole entire hour. And she began to like me and to ask about things that were going on with me. And we developed a rapport that is very warm and affectionate that would not have been there had I not conceded to take that time and just listen to her and let her know that even though she is not the kind of person I'm used to being around and I don't like what she talks about, that I am going to submit, I'm going to put aside my thoughts and feelings for this 1 hour a week. And it was a wonderful investment, and it has worked really well for our whole family to get along better.
You know, Rhonda brings up several issues. Number one, because of the relationship with the mother, she had assumed her mother didn't like her, you know, and things were grating on her. And it sounded like Rhonda made a very smart decision to say, okay, how do we handle this situation? My mother-in-law likes to talk about things and wants some attention, and so let me do this in a way that's kind of neutral ground. Let's go have lunch, whether it's at their house or out for a restaurant or something like that. Rhonda, that was a smart move on your part to go ahead and take that time to be with your mother and to realize that your mother does have the absolute right to have her opinions on world events, politics, whatever, as long as it doesn't interfere into raising your family and the marriage that you have with your husband, then mom-in-law can have those opinions. And it shows a lot of respect for your mother-in-law, and it shows efforts on your part to reach out. And Rhonda, it was pretty successful, wasn't it?
Yes, it worked out really well. And at first it was really difficult because I didn't want to do it. But I figured, you know, I knew she needed to talk about these things. And you're right, she did need the attention. She had never had anybody to just sit and listen to her. She had always catered to her husband and child and stayed home. She had no sort of education. She had no friends, really, because she had invested all of her time and efforts in her family. As a result, she didn't have anyone to listen to her, and so it would just come out in spurts in conversation that seemed inappropriate to me. And so I thought, well, you know, if I take her aside in a restaurant in a neutral environment away from my husband and child and just let her get it all out and listen to her and be as compassionate as I can, not try to advise her, not try to change her, just let her be who she is for that 1 hour, maybe it'll help. And my goodness, it was just amazing the difference it made.
See, it was kind of straightforward.
All right, Rhonda, appreciate your call today on Relatively Speaking. And that's a case where, you know, Rhonda kind of went the extra mile, was proactive in the situation. And I think that she would agree with us in that she's received something back maybe that she didn't ever anticipate getting back. You know, I think maybe she did this to try to sort of ease a situation that was a little bit rough. But I don't want to speak for her, but I think she found maybe something in return that was unexpected. And that is finding out a different side of her mother-in-law.
I think so. And Rhonda did something which she took into account what she knew of her mother-in-law. And you see perhaps reasons why Rhonda's mother-in-law may have been a little intrusive, or as Rhonda says, sometimes say some inappropriate things, because Rhonda's mother-in-law had invested all of her time and energy for her children and her family and her husband. What a very traditional role for a Southern lady to play. That also took time away from building those important support networks. And so by reaching out, Rhonda became a social support, a positive social support, which the mother-in-law now appreciates, respects, and feels is important there too. So Rhonda did a lot of things in a very straightforward way. And she says it wasn't easy at first, but here was an act which, you know, about an hour of her time, probably a little more, you know, driving to and fro, but it was something which made a difference in both of their lives, and now a much stronger family relationship, family rapport, and a bond between those two. That's a great tradition. That's a wonderful thing that, Rhonda and her mother-in-law celebrate together.
Appreciate the call, Rhonda. Good way to get the show started off today. We are talking today about getting along with your in-laws on Relatively Speaking, and our question of the day asks if mother-in-laws get a bad rap. If you'd like to join our conversation with a telephone call, pick up the phone and call us at 877-MPB-RING, which is 877-672-7464. Let's go to the phones. Ann's called in from Clinton. Ann, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? What are your thoughts?
I think they do a lot of times because of so much of this stuff, you know, you see on TV that what a bad mother-in-law, what mothers are is mother and bad mother-in-laws. But my situation was I found that in one of my children, I had five daughter-in-laws. And in one marriage, I was against the marriage, not against the people, mm-hmm. because of age and because of drug addictions. And I just felt that they should have, gotten some help before they got married. Well, of course, that started me off on the wrong foot. The other problem that I had, I actually looked my daughter-in-law in the face and told her, my son is my son, and I don't want to have sex with him. He's your husband. You tend to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of looked at me funny, and there was a change. So, you know, mother-in-laws are wrong if they stay away to let you make your decisions, and then they're wrong if they come by and kind of help. I've offered to help my one of my children with their housework once in a while,
mm-hmm.
get behind. I was told I was interfering by simply sorting the mail out as to bills and, advertisements. So it's a real peculiar situation when you have that many and you don't really know what each one wants. One daughter-in-law that eventually became my daughter-in-law chewed me out for running all of her husband-to-be's girlfriends off. My remark to her was, aren't you glad that you're not having to marry another woman and a child because I ran them all off? And she never replied. But anyway, it's been interesting, and you just have to work it out over the years. And my congratulations to Rhonda for what she did. She was a smart woman.
Oh, I agree. And I think, too, Miss Ann, bring out the point. Look, it's always somebody's son or daughter who's getting married. If we can respect, honor, and appreciate the parents, you know, the role that they did getting your spouse, you know, to the wedding aisle, and that it's not just going to go away once there's a ring on a finger, I think that can be very healthy. And, you know, so you can also hear Ann is a very straightforward lady. She will tell what's on her mind. And, you know, I have no idea. We're not going to find out about, what led to that comment about, I'm not going to have sex with him type of thing. But again, you know, I guess it's about boundaries and issues. And Ann has found a way to communicate with her daughters-in-laws, and her daughter-in-laws have found a way to communicate with her, which is quite open. And as long as that family dynamic works, then that's okay. That can work out. Although that may not work for everybody. You know, why did you run off every other woman? You know, well, shouldn't you be happy? You know, look what you got now type of thing. But again, it's about relationships, about family ties, family bonds, and how things work, and making them work within your family. What might work in my family may not work in somebody else's family, and that's what psychiatry's not easy, guys. I mean, you know, the thing is, I can't impose my decision and my will on people. I have to help them find what's right for them and their family. I can't just say, oh, do what I did. You know, heck, my way may not work out in the long run. I hope it does, you know, but I can only help people work through their family traditions.
We're on Relatively Speaking today, talking about getting along with your in-laws. For Twitter users, you can follow us at MPB Talkers. Go to twitter.com. We ask for the best and worst mother-in-law scenarios. We'll share a couple of those after we get back from this break. Back in just a moment.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB.
mpbonline.org. MPB Think Radio. Think Radio.
And welcome back to Relatively Speaking on MPB Think Radio, where today we're talking about how to get along with your in-laws. Our question of the day asks, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? We'd like to hear your thoughts on that and your thoughts about dealing with your in-laws in general. Call us at 877-MPB-RING, which is 877-672-7464. If you prefer, you can send us an email to family@mpbonline.org. I did get an email, which I'll share in just a moment, but before the break, I did promise that we would get some response from our Twitter. Again, if you're a Twitter user, you can go to twitter.com and follow MPB Talkers. This morning, or today, we asked for the best and worst in-law scenarios and got some response. This one says, my mother-in-law is great. The only complaint is that she prefaces every thought with, now this is just my opinion and you can do whatever you want, which that sounds like a good idea, but maybe that would be something that you might get a little bit tired of. And then another one says, hey, I don't believe in weighing on this one. Ha ha, no comment. So I think that shows that it is a sticky situation. And we also received an email from Reverend John Walters. He says, as a pastor, I've had the experience of performing many weddings, also including counseling. I always ask the couple about their soon-to-be in-laws. The couple usually has had an honest response based on their limited experience. Usually the couple has already thought about how to deal with the dynamics. The mother of the bride was more likely to be a key figure than any other. Special needs arose when the first child was born as well. So he sums up by saying, in-laws can be so helpful, but they also can be too helpful, resulting in a situation that we saw on that comedy Everyone Loves Raymond, where the mother-in-law is very involved in that. And I think maybe that's why mother-in-laws do get a bad rap, is that it's often a common vehicle in a situation comedy to, you know, to create some stress and some funny situations in TV families. But for real-life families, it sometimes can be a problem. One thing that I wanted to ask about, and that's the idea of maybe especially when a couple first gets married, would maybe actual, we talked about boundaries as well, would like physical boundaries be, in other words, maybe kind of not ignoring the in-laws, but maybe giving the couple some time on their own to get their routines established, get the marriage off to a good start before maybe the in-law problem comes up?
Well, it might be. It depends on everybody's individual situation. You know, sometimes newlyweds do have to live with their in-laws. You know, often, more often than not, they tend to move into the bride's family household, those type of things. You know, in terms of getting ready for a marriage, there's a lot of things to do. And I think sometimes it's never a perfect time to get married, but there are some times when it's very conflicted and very stressful financially. Relationships, maybe a pregnancy, times where people get married almost out of obligation, or they think like it's the only thing that they can do. Slowing down, talking things out. If possible, I could see certainly that it would be helpful, you know, for people to have their own separate space. You know, if you're married, to be able to have your own apartment or home or something to move into, where you then have your own married life starting up, which is going to be different from your single life living with your family. Nowadays, though, more people are getting married later in life, so it's not like they're just 18 and they just graduated high school, which used to be pretty common, you know, a few years back. You know, very common for the girl to be graduating from high school. The boy was a little bit older. The wife moved from her father's house into her husband's house, those type of things. But things have changed nowadays, and many times people do have their own apartments, they have their own stuff, their own stereo. I'm just thinking about when my wife and I blended our family together. But getting a chance to talk about it. And I think what's helpful, too, is to say honestly and openly to your future spouse, you say, you know what, here are some strengths for your family. Here are some things that I might think could be a source of conflict or argument down the road. How are we going to deal with it? And once you make a decision how you're going to deal with it, stick with it, people. Mm-hmm. Don't say, oh, if this happens, I'm going to. And then the first time it happens, you go, oh, it was only once. Maybe next time my dad won't do that. Maybe next time my mom won't do that. No, you have to have a set of consequences that you're willing to enforce in order for any behavior modification to occur. thinking it and not doing it is not helpful in changing behavior.
I would think almost if you don't stick with the boundaries that you made, that would really kind of alienate the spouse maybe. I mean, if you get together and cooperatively come up with these boundaries and then the first time they're violated, you know, the consequences aren't paid or whatever, that could lead to some problems there. I kind of compromised to you and all of a sudden I'm getting run over time. So I agree that it is very important to set up some boundaries that you're going to be willing to live with.
Yes, willing to enforce. You know, I guess the big problem is people go, oh, I thought you meant your family. I'm talking about my family.
Oh, those apply to my family too. We're on Relatively Speaking today talking about how to get along with your in-laws. Our question of the day asks if mother-in-laws get a bad rap. And so we'll go to Susan from Gulfport who's called in. Susan, how about that? Do you think mother-in-laws get a bad rap?
Oh, I don't know. I've got great in-law children. My question really has to do with my son-in-law's parenting of my grandson since he's been back from deployment and mm-hmm. they've had a second child. Mm-hmm. He seems to be angry with my grandson all the time. And before he went, he was very, very giving and very patient and very understanding of my grandson's feelings. And since he's been back, he just seems angry at him all the time. He seems like he's ready for him to do something wrong mm-hmm. and, you know, ready for him to say something wrong. And my grandson is a very good child and he's got a wonderful heart. And I'm just concerned that it's going to break his spirit. He's 5 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
He looked so forward to his dad coming home, and now he doesn't even want to be around him. And I want to talk to his father about it because he's a very quiet-spoken person. He doesn't say a whole lot, and he's a very thoughtful person. But I don't want to seem like I'm imposing and I'm stepping on his toes parenting. I want to know the right words to say that will come from my heart, because I'm also concerned, having raised 5 children, that you can force a child into rebellion, and the rebellion's going to come fast enough when they hit puberty. Mm-hmm. You really don't need to do anything to encourage that, and I'm afraid he's going to that one of the outcomes may be that eventually he'll get tired of being put in the corner and he'll just start rebelling.
Well, you know, Susan, you bring up 2 very important points. The first is about how a grandparent wants to give their opinion on discipline. And that's a very complex situation in terms of how you do that. Second, which is that your son-in-law has been deployed into a time of war. And so in terms of trying to see how to approach from here, you said that your son-in-law is a thoughtful, insightful, thinking person who clearly has changed. Going to war clearly changes people, even if they're not necessarily involved being pinned down. You know, the stress of going into another country and being there to help represent the United States and our best interest is a scary thing. That was not this weekend past, but last weekend we went down to visit my brother-in-law in Mobile, who's a Marine. He's going to Afghanistan in November. You know, so we do understand the importance of supporting our members of the military. So for you, Susan, first thing would be talking not just to your son-in-law, but to both your daughter and the son. Do it at a time where things are calm, where there is not a lot of stress. Make sure that you yourself are not angry or frustrated when you decide to have this conversation. And then say to them, you know, I am kind of want to see in what way, and I love your term, from the heart, I want to know, is there a way that I can help you guys in the family? It seems like since you went to Afghanistan or Iraq, that things have been stressful for you, and I've noticed a change. Things that I think I'm seeing is it seems like you're being short with the grandson, and always use names. Call your don't say the grandson, say his name, and also with your son-in-law, say the name too, and ask, you know, is there a way that I can help? Because I do think things have changed. You know, at this point, then you would leave it open to them to talk about. You know, they may say, oh, thank you, thanks, Mom, I didn't realize things had changed. Inside, I thought I was dealing with it better. I didn't realize it was impacting other people. By reaching out to our military when they return back home, it makes them feel like they belong, they feel safe, and they feel secure. Unless you've been to a time of war, or unless you've, and I've talked to maybe several hundred people who've returned from the two wars we've had over the last decade and a half, and I really do see an impact on them. And so, you know, bring it up to them, open, and if things kind of get heated or heated up, you back off and say, you know, I want to be here to help. I don't want to push. Let's go ahead and stop what we're talking about right now. And then if they want to bring it up at a later time, if nothing happens, I would bring it up again a few weeks down the road and say, you know, I still want to be here from my heart. I want to support you guys. And is there anything that I could do to help out? And that's where things get started. You communicate calmly, keep it short. Don't be too wordy. And then you let them have a chance to speak. If things get too heated, back off. If things go smoothly, you might spend an hour or two there, because it also sounds like, Susan, maybe your son-in-law might need some support for himself, and even possibly talking with somebody with the VA or other type of military services to help him with the reintegration and return to regular life.
You know, also, I think what might be important would be, as you said, you know, to state your case, but as you mentioned, gauge the response and sort of act accordingly on that. And I would think maybe if the concern is still there, that maybe try to couch it in something that doesn't appear to be, I'm trying to tell you how to raise your child, and maybe would be to occasionally offer to take the grandson out on a Saturday to the park or something like that, maybe to try to have an influence in there in a positive way without coming off as sounding overly judgmental.
I think so, too. Offering those things, which, you know, and again, what are the things that I could do? That'd be a great thing to say, hey, can I take the grandkids to the park on Saturday? You'll give you guys a little time just to hang out and be a couple. I don't know, Susan, if you could do this, take them for a Friday night, let them come, come with you, be picked up on Saturday, something like that. Susan, do not first go to your daughter and say, there's something wrong with, your husband, you need to do something. I would at least the first several times do it with them as a couple. You know, so that this way it doesn't feel like the husband is being singled out.
Thanks for the call, Susan, and good luck. I think they've made the first, step of knowing the situation there. She's concerned and trying to approach it in a proper way to have a good positive outcome. So thank you, Susan, for calling. We're going to take the final break of our hour today on Relatively Speaking, where we've been talking about getting along with the in-laws. Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464. We'll be back after this break.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB Online.org. MPB Think Radio.
Welcome back to Relatively Speaking on MPB Think Radio. I'm Kevin Farrell here with Dr. Greg Gordon, a board certified internist and psychiatrist. And today we're talking about how to get along with your in-laws. And our question of the day specifically asks, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? If you'd like to join in our conversation today, call us at 877-MPB-RING, which is 877-672-7464. Dr. Gordon, we've talked about trying to set some boundaries, and the couple needs to sort of work together to come up with some boundaries of how they would handle things for both sets of in-laws. As we mentioned earlier, it's not your set or my set, but it's for everybody. What do you think some things that, as they make those discussions, maybe to try to anticipate? Is there a way sort of to look ahead and maybe anticipate some of the potential problem areas and deal with those sort of on the front end as well?
Yeah, I think that it does require both people being honest about their families and honest about understanding how their family does business, if you will. That if you pretend like My family is oh so perfect. We're not going to get a chance to see what might be happening down the road. You know, taking a look at how the family does things in terms of finances, relationships, boundaries, spirituality are all important things in terms of how we can learn to get along. And also, too, I take a look at the blended family when parents have been married and divorced and remarried, or married and divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried. And, you know, what are the patterns that the family has set up? So if you're able to honestly say, hey, look, this is how, well, for my wife and I said, well, look, in Mohawk families, you know, this is the impact that, that somehow, sometimes I've seen mother-in-laws in the family do. You know, would this be a problem for you? Yes, no. If yes, how will we handle it? And by sitting down, because my wife and I, we're from different cultures, and so we wanted to look down and make sure we both understood what we were sort of getting ourselves into, what might be the strengths and what might be the challenges. And by taking time to talk over these things, we came up with a series of different things, the what-ifs. And so when they were minor things, we were able to address it when they were minor before they became major.
Let's go to the phones for some thoughts on Relatively Speaking today. Dawn has called in from Jackson. Dawn, our question of the day, do mother-in-laws get a bad rap? What are your thoughts?
I think that there are pros and cons. I think that there's good and bad mother-in-laws. As unfortunate as it may be, sometimes we don't always understand the family that we're marrying into, and I don't mean to separate someone that may have been raised in a different area or cultures. We have to blend. You know, Mississippi is a blended state as it is. But for those times when you absolutely cannot get along with your in-laws, it can be very hurtful. But the thing is that sometimes I think that God makes us the stronger person, though we might be a little bit younger, in order to be forgiving, realize they may not have the same background, and you were talking about spiritual things, as well. And so we've got to be bigger and not be angry, and sometimes that means that we have to separate ourselves and get away from the situation, and I don't like the fact that sometimes you have to do that, but sometimes there are just some ugly people.
So for you, Don, it actually, in your experiences, sometimes you actually physically or kind of time-wise had to move away from in-laws?
Well, they're right next door to me, unfortunately, or fortunately, and it does have its its good things. We've gone through a hard time, so those things, it's important to have family. I don't believe that, you talk about hard times and things like that. We depend on the family. We're not raised anymore to get along with your family. We're not raised to have to live with family. But as things get worse and worse, we're not able to pay our bills. Family is ultimately important, and so that means that we can't be bitter for the 3 years or 5 years. We need to be strong enough. We might have a little struggle for a while, but make sure that you bring the Lord into it, and make sure that when they do come around, or if they do need you, that they can see that you will help them, even though there's some things bad that may be happening to them. We can't be bitter.
All right, Dawn, I appreciate your call today. A good point there, and that's, you know, to try to be understanding of the differences. I think we had an earlier caller that mentioned as well, when you marry into another family, the chances are you're marrying into, as we mentioned, cultural things, just spiritual things, just the way families operate. And maybe the idea would be going into to maybe not look for ways that the differences and that, but to try to find ways that they're similar, or maybe the idea of celebrating a difference and try to find something about that other person that you can enjoy and bond with that way.
Oh, I think so too. And Don, you know, Don's situation is not rare here in Mississippi at all, that living close to relatives. One neat thing about Mississippi is everybody's got land. Coming from Rochester, New York, where, you know, a plot of land, you know, 12 to an acre or whatever it was. Here, you know, a lot of times, people have land that has been in the family for a long time. And so you'll have aunts and uncles and cousins or brothers and sisters on the same, you know, sort of plot of land, often around a pond they're close in proximity, but sometimes too close. Like Don puts out, fortunately and unfortunately, about being close to family, it's good and bad. And actually nowadays, with the economy and with things being so rough, actually we're seeing more and more problems where families do have to unite, do have to come together and work things out. And Don said something which I think is very important, which is, look, when a time of struggle, turn to your faith. But I'm going to give some recommendations. When a time of good, turn to your faith. When a time of happy, turn to your faith. Don't wait until it's a, you know, until it's an absolute mess before you turn to your faith. Have spirituality be a daily part of your life. And I think that can be a positive foundation for families, for healthy families.
I don't remember the name, but we had an earlier caller who was dealing with a son-in-law who had just returned from overseas, a tour of duty, and some suggested resources. There's a website called MilitaryOneSource.com. I could go there for some tips and hints. And also, it says that to possibly contact the service member's local unit chaplain and ask them to check in on things and maybe do a follow-up that way to sort of work through the chaplain there. That's kind of their responsibility, and I think that that would be a good way to try to get someone else involved to deal with that situation, because that really was a unique situation in the fact that the stress of everything of having to return from being engaged overseas, and that made that a kind of a special situation. But again, MilitaryOneSource.com might be a good source for help in that situation.
Great.
As we wrap up, I guess the simple thing would be to say, as we mentioned the first part of the show, always important to go ahead and set those boundaries, but to stick with them, and maybe that will help things out.
Absolutely. You know, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. It was a great topic, and I'm really glad that the one called about the son-in-law coming back. It's not unique anymore. We're dealing with that more and more. We want to be here in helping our military people returning back.
Relatively Speaking is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio, funded by contributions to the Foundation for Public Broadcasting in Mississippi from listeners like you. Thanks to our phone screener and producer, Ezra Wall. For Dr. Greg Gordon, I'm Kevin Farrell, asking you to listen to Money Talks tomorrow at 9, and then join us again next Monday at 9 for another Relatively Speaking on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.